The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Hi, this is Brad Fittler.
No, Brad, no. You're not going on.
Hang on, I thought that he'd actually going to say my name then.
No, he never.
He never did?
No. Oh. I just realised then when I played it, he never.
But he sounded like he was going to. He sounded like he was going to do it.
Okay, let's have a listen. Shall we see whether he did it or not?
Okay.
Are you sure you want to listen to this? Because I don't want to upset you.
No. I'm ready for it. I am ready for it because it's happening this time, isn't it? It's happening.
Okay. You ready?
I am.
Hi, this is Brad.
Now, don't get upset now.
Sydney Roosters Rugby League Club, and you're listening to the Final Hooter. Yeah. Radio General with Mark Norton and Adrian Jackson.
See what I mean? I didn't upset you.
Who was that?
He said anyone else but you.
He's just giving a random check to someone else.
That's like I said, I didn't want to upset you.
And why has he gone back to Sydney Roosters? I've not read that one. Well, I've missed that press release on loverugbyleague.com.
Exactly. Welcome to another Final Hooter on Love Rugby. Got me my teeth mixed up now. Just because I've been the dentist, don't want to be goofing up my words, do I? Welcome to another Final Hooter on the loverugbyleague.com website and Radio General, who let us use all the equipment. And as always, David, we're talking Rugby League, and we've had two great rounds of Super League and Championship to digest.
Oh, plenty of games, plenty of action, plenty of tries, plenty of points, and plenty of controversy.
As always. And Mr. Kukash is involved this time.
He is. Man, he's
been
usually
quiet
involved.
For a few weeks.
No, he's usually involved.
He's been quiet for a few weeks, but he's hit the headlines for all the right reasons and wrong reasons, if whatever way you want to look at it. I mean, in one of the Salford press conference, he burst in and actually ripped up the actual manuscript of the Super League licence, and now he's on about going to Australia to buy Newcastle Knights.
Yeah, very interesting couple of tweets that he's put out over the last few hours as we're recording this. And I just get the feeling that he's not sure quite what he wants to do. Is he going to be one of these that, because he didn't get his own way, he'll take his ball home?
I reckon we should get Marwan Kukash to voice our the good, the bad and the ugly sound checks. What do you think?
I tell you what, that would be
just
so,
me saying it.
That would be so cool. That would be so cool. Like, this is the good, the bad and the ugly with Marwan Kukash.
Yeah, I reckon we get him to do that, but we'll do it now, shall we? It's the good. The RFL's decision to introduce a championship-style magic weekend called the Big Bash. It's going to take place next May in Blackpool. I think it's great because these guys deserve a bigger stage to play on, and I just want a weekend in Blackpool.
I tell you what I would have preferred. I would have preferred him bringing back the Northern Real Cup. I really like that competition, to be honest, but maybe that's more to do with how many times Lee's actually gone and won it than anything else. But it's an interesting one, isn't it? I mean, taking a whole set of championship fixtures on the road up to Blackpool, it could be a very successful weekend. That I just get the feeling it's a little bit false though, so that's kind of my my sentence. But then
just don't like a weekend in Blackpool. I'm looking forward to it.
You know how I feel about the
I've got my hotel booked, I've got my pub crawl lined up.
I mean, I would be more interested if they actually took it to Coventry.
Oh, and then the matches.
Yeah, I would be more interested if they took it to Coventry.
No. What's in Coventry?
Well, they're going to be getting a rugby league side next year.
If you go Coventry, okay, you understand that. But if you go Coventry, what can the fans do? Go around the motor car museum?
Of course they can.
Or did they go on the last round Blackpool?
No. Shit, you're just thinking of it from an alcohol.
Think of the party atmosphere that's going to be created at Blackpool rather than Coventry.
It's there every week, though. There's always loads of Scots having the hen nights and stuff, isn't it?
For one weekend in May, it's going to be full of rugby league fans.
You hope.
We hope.
Yeah, that's the big thing. As I say, I would have took it, if you was going to have an event like that, I would have took it to Coventry because Coventry are having a team in Championship 1 next season. So for me, it's a no-brainer. You would take it down there to try and foster some interest.
By the way, welcome to Rugby League Coventry Bears.
And that is another good, that. Yeah. That's a huge good. I mean, they've been around for a few years. In fact, I remember them playing on a Grand Finals day over at Widnes. I think it might have been 2004, actually, where they played some outstanding stuff against, I think it was Bramley at the time. And it was unfortunate at that stage that they didn't really step up into semi-professional rugby league. But they've got the opportunity to now. And I really feel that we could be onto something good because there's nothing in the Midlands, is there?
There's a name from the past, Bramley.
Bramley. I know. Whatever happened to him?
Exactly. Okay, let's carry on with the good, shall we? The Super League clubs seeing sense for once and rejecting Dr. Kukash's marquee signing idea, which would allow clubs to spend as much money as they like on one player. Having said that, it's money they wouldn't have had. So, to be honest with you, it's just where they did reject it, because it just saves themselves from self-harm, doesn't it?
Did you not read the small print, though, that was included within that caveat that he wanted to bring in? And that was the fact that if you couldn't sign a marquee player yourself, you could actually sell your chance of having a marquee player to another club for a big fee. So in some respects, you know, maybe your Wakefields, who might not have as much cash to rub together. I'd mentioned Bradford, but they do look like they're tumbling out of Super League, don't they? But, you know, those type of clubs.
But isn't it still encouraging clubs to spend money they haven't got?
Most of them are probably still spending money they haven't got, and that's including what they're getting at the moment. So, you know, I'm not 100% sure whether I buy into, you know, quite what you're saying there, but obviously those Super League clubs have thought that it's a good decision. They've rejected Mr. Kukash, and he's probably going to be still trying to get it through some way or other, isn't he?
Right, over to the bad and sad news, I'm sorry to say, after what reached us last week regarding the health of Greg Mackey. What a great player he was, and he is a true gent.
I agree with you, yeah. Our thoughts go to everyone who's connected with Greg, and, you know, he was a great ambassador, wasn't he, for Hull and for Warrington. Very durable player, one of the toughest halfbacks, I think, that was around during his time, sort of late 80s, mid 90s. Wasn't he? He was a very, very good player, very underrated, good defender, heart on his sleeve type player, and he's facing the biggest battle of his life now, isn't he? So our thoughts go to him, his family, friends, and everyone that knows him.
And also the sad news of Widnes superfan Pat Price, who sadly passed away recently. She never missed a Widnes game in over 50 years. That's a long time without missing a game, isn't it? And she totally lived and breathed for the game of Rugby League. So she's not only going to be missed by everybody at Widnes, but the entire Rugby League family as well.
Didn't she also make it into the Rugby League Fan of the Year a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, people like that, they're phenomenal. And, you know, there's so many unsung heroes up and down the country who, you know, have probably got similar sort of stories to share that as Pat did. And, yeah, it's a great loss for the Widnes Club. And it would be very nice if that club would do something, you know, to honour the life of Pat and honour that sort of dedication, because, you know, it doesn't grow on trees, that, does it?
Well, the word on the street around witnesses are about naming one of the stands after her.
I think that would be really fitting, that would be a really, really
that's
nice thing.
That's not confirmed by the club, by the way, that's just the word on the street.
I mean, even if the club aren't going to do that officially, maybe the fans could adopt a stand and start calling it the Pat Price stand or something, I don't know.
It's original.
Yeah.
Do you move on with the ugly?
Go on.
Even though the marquee signing by Mr. Kukash has been rejected, it's not dead and buried, and no doubt Mr. Kukash will be banging the drum and giving Chinese burns out to all the clubs until they give in.
Chinese burns?
Yeah.
Are you sure that he's adept at that? Does he do that?
I'm sure he does, to get his own way.
I'm just thinking, you know, you've got it in for Marwan today, haven't you? What's got into you?
I just
don't
like his marquee signing idea.
What's got into
you? I think it'll do more harm than good.
But you think it's a bad and an ugly. You've doubled up.
Exactly.
I mean,
getting a double whammy tonight.
So, really, you're sticking the boot in like all these people on Twitter who are telling him he doesn't know what he's talking about in rugby league.
And continuing with the ugly, the Bangor of hot receiver intentional body contact on Matt Thompson. I'm sure Matt Thompson didn't like it, and the RFL never, because he got a 7-match ban.
Have you actually seen the incident?
No, I haven't.
I have to admit, it's on a quite well-known file-sharing website at the moment. I did watch it last night, and it's a bad incident, to be honest. There's a whole player that runs over the try line, scores a try, and Gareth Hott just keeps running at the poor referee and bowls him over right in the middle of the in-goal area, and he took a great tumble. So, fair play to Matt Thomason, who was able to stand up and carry on reffing the game. But, you know, it's deplorable, really, of Gareth Hock. I mean, he should know better. He got banned for something similar last year at Widnes, didn't he? And you know, I'm sorry, but if you're going to do that, then you deserve everything that's thrown at you.
It doesn't do his reputation any good, does he?
No, he never helps himself, does he? I mean, he can be a fantastic player. He's one of the best forwards that this country has produced in the last 20 years, but with that sort of oddball and harebrained antics that go on with him, he's a liability. I wouldn't take a chance on him. In fact, I'd struggle naming him for West Bank under-15s. I wouldn't take a chance on that one either.
What are you trying to offload him onto West Bank for?
Nothing against West Brom per se.
They've got good, respectable, disciplined players.
Exactly.
They wouldn't Gareth Hawke putting them on.
He wouldn't get into that team.
And the good thing for Gareth Hawke is he gets 7 weeks off, so his holiday start now.
Yeah, to be fair.
He'll be on a lad's holiday next week.
It looks unlikely that Salford are going to make the playoffs, doesn't it?
And well, you don't know. Yeston Harris and the boys in red are saying it's not beyond them.
It's beyond them. They are not going to make these playoffs. You know, there's a good 4 points. They've got to win another two games yet just to draw a level.
Well, they've won two on the bounce. My pick of the matches from round 19 of Super League was Salford's big win over Huddersfield Giants. Kevin Lockie, what an outstanding debut that was.
Oh, he was outstanding, wasn't he? Great performance from him. Shame he didn't play last week, but yeah, if he can get that sort of form going, then he's going to be one heck of a signing for Salford. Pick of my games was actually Hull Kingston Rovers beating St Helens, because obviously I think the last time we spoke they just got rid of the coach.
They had, yes.
And you know, you sort of wonder, it can go one or two ways, can't it, when you decide that you're going to change your head coach. But Chris Chester's there in charge at the moment. Recalled Amari Caro, who, you know, repays him with a hat-trick, and they beat St Helens 40 points to 10.
Well, all the word was on the street there was that St Helens are still stuck in St Helens. They weren't certainly up at Hull Kingston Rovers in body anyway.
No, I think I'd agree with you there. Probably not in mind either. It's a strange result, but other wins around round 19 in the Super League were for Catalan Dragons, for Warrington, for Wigan, Wakefield Trinity Wildcats and Castleford Tigers.
Yeah, big win for Castleford Tigers against Widnes Vikings in what was a curtain raiser that everyone was saying was for the Champs Cup.
Yeah, always an interesting one, isn't it, when sides come up against each other, you know, a few weeks hence, shall we say, of a Challenge Cup tie, one that's apparently heading for a sellout over at the Lee Sports Village. You know, you're lucky if you can get standing room there at the moment, I think. And, you know, Elton John goes there, sells out the place, next thing you know, sold out Challenge Cup semi final. It's all looking good, isn't it?
Still think Elton John didn't realise he was going to Lee. He probably thought he was going to Heaton Park in Manchester or somewhere, not Hilton Park.
He said he enjoyed it. He actually said he enjoyed it. Yeah, I'm not just saying that from a, you know, a biased standpoint.
You may just missed the fact that Nane checked the old ground.
Then. I did. But he could have gone there as well. There's not much left of it.
He'd been impressed with Hilton Park.
And he would have been singing to the masses at Asda. It's just across the way. Other supermarkets can also be used, by the way.
Yeah, the people who shop in Asda are probably his age range. That goes to the concert.
So, but there's no truth in that he's going to sign for Paul Rowley's full-time squad next season with the name Rocket Man on the back of his shirt.
Yeah, round 19. Some interesting results. And there's some interesting results in round 20, because despite Hull Kingston Rovers stunning St Helens, they couldn't back it up against Lee Drynovers, who are just smoothly getting on with the job, aren't they?
It was a bit of a late running, wasn't it, for Leeds. I noticed looking at the times that they scored, they actually scored all five of the tries in the last 20 minutes. I mean, that's just a superb end to a game. Hull Kingston Rovers must have been rubbing their hands together when they led 6 points to nil, but you know, you can never write off Leeds, can you?
No, not at all. And the Red Devils continue to improve in the form of a big win against Hull FC.
Yeah, they did. Good result there. And Caton Brown's gone there from London, and he started off as he means to go on, hasn't he? Very incisive centre. Scored a couple of tries there as well. Other wins that weekend for Castleford over Huddersfield, for Wigan away at Catalan, for St Helens, who beat Bradford Bulls, Wakefield, who hung on for victory against Widnes Vikings, who, to be honest, could have been playing till now, and couldn't really have managed another try, I don't think. And then Warrington sending London Broncos down. Big result there, of course, and a day of hat-tricks really over there at Warrington as well.
Certainly was, yeah. Chris Hill getting a rare hat-trick amongst other players, and Joe Monahan outdoing everybody by scoring four, and Ben Curry coming up with a hat-trick. But yeah, a miserable day for the Broncos. It condemned them to relegation. Everybody knew it was coming, but there's been a mass outcry about it.
I don't know why there should have been a mass outcry. I mean, they've been rubbish all season, haven't they?
Yeah, they've been rubbish for 20 years.
You know, well, they had a couple of seasons, didn't they, where they were
joking,
mixing
by
it.
The way. I'm joking.
You know, they have had a lot of problems trying to establish the game down south, haven't they?
They kind of peaked there probably about 2006 or 2007 when they made the playoffs, didn't they?
Was that not a little bit earlier? I mean, they had.
I'm not sure. I'm just trying to think. The playoffs, didn't they, around that era?
They did. I know at the time of when the World Club Challenge was going on, when they were playing over at Harlequin's ground, they drew 10,000, didn't they, when they were playing against Canberra? But that's going back a long, long time now. And, you know, one can only hope that they do end up, you know, getting back. But it's going to be a long way back to Super League for them, I feel, because if they underestimate that championship with the way it's going this year, then, you know, there's. They're in for a shock.
Right, we're going to step into the locker room this evening. In the locker room is Castleford's Mark Snead and Warrington's Chris Hill. Mark Snead, I know that was a Super League game, but it was dress rehearsals for the Challenge Cup goal. That wasn't a bad dress rehearsal for the Tigers.
Right, obviously it was good to get the win, obviously, but the Challenge Cup will be a different thing. Obviously, it's pretty much a winner takes all situation in the Cup. Obviously, Widnes will probably put out a better performance than they did tonight.
It was a fast and frantic 80 minutes out there, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's always like that when you play on this high pitch here. It's always good for your skill levels. It's always quite an entertaining game. But with that temperature outside, it weren't that enjoyable.
Terrific start by you guys, 18-0 up, and everything going swimmingly.
Yeah, we talked about starting the game really well. For the last couple of weeks, we've not really done that. We went away from what we're doing really good. So starting the game big were one of our main things this week.
You set up one of the tries, and what a magic try it was with your kick.
Yeah, it was just off the cuff kind of play. I just saw it played it. Luckily enough, I got the bounce as well. So it would have been a different tale if the bounce would have gone the other way, but luckily it didn't.
Close at half time, wasn't it? So are you quite surprised you won so convincingly at the end of it?
Maybe a little bit, yeah. We had they put us under a lot of pressure. They always do. You're always going to get that period in the game where you get put under a lot of pressure, but we seem to have an habit at the minute scoring long range tries, which is always good. So I think we just did it pretty well today.
Do you think the turning point was when Patrick Arvan's effort was ruled out?
Maybe a little bit, yeah. I reckon that's if this game's not on Sky, then that try's probably given. But fair play to the referees if they've seen it and give it, and we probably took advantage of that, which you'd expect.
Some great tries scored and a great hatchet by Darryl Clark.
Yeah, he's an outstanding player, isn't he? At the minute, he's got to be best hooker in Super League by quite a distance. To be fair, he's. Always looking for an opportunity, and sometimes he turns not that big of an opportunity into a try. So, yeah, he's really, really good, Darryl.
Great team performance. How did you feel your time on the pitch went for yourself?
Yeah, it was a steady game. Didn't really get too much of an opportunity, too many opportunities individually, but obviously it's a team game, so quite happy.
Nice to see the Tigers put that wobble behind us and now get two back-to-back victories.
Yeah, it's always good to get on a little bit of a run. Playing Huddersfield next week, obviously it's tight in the table and stuff like that, so it's panning out to be quite a good game.
Chris, the win against the London Broncos, how comfortable was that today?
Yeah, it wasn't, but we knew we'd have to turn up. We knew we'd turn up for the first 20 minutes or so and give it a real effort. And there's a lot of enthusiasm in their team, but we had to match that and overcome that.
Got us to a great start as well, but I suppose you didn't expect the Broncos to score as well.
No, we didn't, and we'd had a bit of a goal ourselves this week to keep them to nil, which obviously we didn't do. But no, we need to concentrate on doing jobs like that.
What do you think the ingredients were to the victory today?
I think it was a bit of patience. We had a lot of patience with a lot of lads. We could have forced the ball and did it sometimes, but I think we did a good even balance to it. And We passed it when we knew we should do, and we kept hold and got him on the next player.
Some of the forwards took over the role of the halfbacks at times during that match.
Yeah, we try and work on a bit of between ourselves. I don't think we do it enough, and games like that today allow you to do it, obviously, with a bit of a bigger lead and not as much pressure on yourself. So, no, we need to work a bit more on that, and we're just glad to get the win today.
Certainly wasn't, because you scored plenty more tries with plenty of hat-trick heroes out there, and you were one of them.
Yeah, I got over. For an hat trick, I was going to get the end Mickey, my Leibos member, fobbed me off when he went through, and I give it to him after that. But no, it's good to get over, and not often get over for an hat-trick.
No, not at all. And seeing three in one game as well. Joe Monahan coming up with forearm, Ben Curry, so plenty of tries.
Yeah, it was. It was good. A few boys getting around. And no, we played some good rugby at times, but we just need to concentrate on what we're doing and take every game as it comes.
Tony's threw two new names into the hat today. How do you feel them two went?
Yeah, really good. Toby. I thought he went really well on the centre, but Tony's good at that. He'll drip feed the young lads in the right games as well. And today was the right game for him, and they come in and did the job.
Tasty game coming up on Friday. So is this a good workout ahead of the derby?
Yeah, of course it is. It's always good against Widnes, isn't it? And to go over there now, we need to concentrate. We have a shorter turnaround, and we play Friday, but we've got to concentrate, and it should be a great atmosphere at Widnes and a great derby.
Off the back of 10 victories, I suppose confidence is sky high.
It is, yeah. We were in the camp, and we just want to control it and not get carried away with it. And we're not at the top of the league yet, are we? So we've not done anything yet. So we just want to carry on performing and doing what we're doing.
Cheers. Quite impressive, isn't it? 10 wins on the bounce.
It is. It's a really good run. And just looking at the Super League table as well, there's just 2 points behind the leaders, St Helens, now, and sitting in fourth place and looking pretty good at the moment, Warrington. It's starting to come together for them, isn't it? They're ominously closing in on those leaders, aren't they?
Certainly, yeah, that came after the Warrington's big win over the London Broncos. Mark Sneed was talking after the game against Widnes, and one thing that struck me when he opened his mouth.
Okay.
I always thought it was Australian. It stunned me when they heard this Lancashire stroke Yorkshire accent coming at me.
Hang on, he's Oldham's finest. What are you on about? How did you manage to, you know, mix him up and think he was an Aussie?
I just with the name Sneed.
Right.
Thought he was overseas.
You thought it was an unusual name for an English halfback.
Didn't realise he was English, that's what I mean.
A very, very talented player as well. I mean, the way he was trying to get him to describe the kick that he put in, that was just a bit of sublime skill, wasn't it?
Tried the season for me, but he just played it down.
He did. He said he was just lucky to get the bounce and everything, wasn't he? But yeah, Castleford playing some really good stuff at the moment. Now 3 games unbeaten. And they seem to be closing in also on the top of the table. They're also on 28 points.
Yeah, Chris Hill mentioned the next game for Warrington's against Widnes. Can the Vikings undo Warrington's 10-match winning streak?
Depends which ones turn up, doesn't it? Yeah. If it's the one that's turned up over the last couple of weeks, toothless Vikings, I think we can say, then, you know, the answer would be no.
They weren't great against Wakefield, were they? Although they did dominate for 20 minutes.
I think I summed it up in saying that before. They could have been playing till now, Widnes, and still not scored a try. I mean, the one that they got was gifted to them, wasn't it, in the second half? And I don't know. They seem to be retreating at a rate of knots at the moment, to Widnes, which is a bit worrying when Wakefield seem to have picked up the pace over the last couple of weeks and, you know, got a couple of really big wins. I know they beat Leeds, didn't they, the other week? And it is starting to look up for James Webster and his side, isn't it?
Now, we heard me mention with Matt Sneed about the talents of Darrell Clark. Well, he's got some very very big influential fans as well, because Darrell Powell and both Dennis Betts are fans of his skills as well. This is what they say about Darrell Clark at Castleford.
You know, a couple of individual touches there that were outstanding. Obviously Clarkie and his pace, and he's all right, isn't he? He's got a bit of ability.
Darrell Clark just hurt us on the back of like 4 or 5 great tackles, and then the last tackle play he just does what he's done throughout this year, just catches somebody who's just done 2 or 3 tackles, and he gets somebody going sideways, and his strength and his pace just gives him that opportunity to go the length of the field, and there's not many nines in the game that can do that from the distance that he went.
This is
Warrington Hospital's Feel Better Station.
Radio General.
Keep in touch via Twitter. Just follow at Radio General WHR.
Your Feel Better Station.
Radio General.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Well, there you have it. Darrell Clark. No, it said Darrell Powell.
Well, he was a good player in his time as well.
He was a good player, wasn't he? But Darrell Clark getting some pats on the back by not just Darrell Powell, but even Dennis Betts bigging him up.
Oh, I mean, I have to admit, if you're going to pick your top 4 hookers in Super League at the moment, he's definitely there, isn't he? I'm just trying to think who's better than him. Probably Roby. Roby's probably got the still got the top mantle for me. But for me, Darrell Clarke is a very, very close second at the moment. And he's just so dynamic, so quick, so strong. He's got the pace of a back and the strength of a forward. And, you know, combined, you give him a chance and a sniff and he's over the try line, isn't he?
Word on the street, he's heading for Warrington, but that is not confirmed. That's just rumours.
Rumours. We don't deal in rumours, do we?
Rumours.
In fact, yes, we do deal in rumours. If you've got a rumour, we want to hear about it, don't we?
We do.
We do. And what we'll do is we might even have a rumour section of this show in future. You never know.
Okay then, David, we've been in the locker room. Let's go into the loser's corner, i.e. it's a coach's corner.
Unacceptable for staff. St Helens have just did everything far quicker, you know. 50-60% quicker than us, everything. Second half, and it was good to see him. It was good to see him play rugby, you know. And that's not just for the fans there, you know. That's for themselves as well. That bit, you know, you can see there's a bit of personal pride there. You can see that they were hurting, but this is a product of, you know, not just this year. It's probably the last couple of years. No, they were far better than us. Irrelevant how many tries they scored, they were far better than us, you know. And that first half absolutely caned us, and we just didn't match up to that. And you know, it was very disappointing, really disappointing. More than anything, irrelevant of your situation, there's also a bit of personal pride as well. You know, you've got to have a bit of fight in you, and that's pleasing that they've shown that. You know, that's pleasing that they've shown that. And as long as you've got that, you've got something to work with.
Joe Grimmer, always a difficult place to come to Warrington. So how painful was that scoreline for you guys to digest today?
Yeah, I think you're right, Adrian. I think that they've put 80 on us here before, not so long ago, I think last year. So it's not been the best hunting ground for us. And to lose by that large margin again today was a tough day at the office.
I mean, you got to 86, I suppose you didn't foresee that final score.
Yeah, I didn't think that was going to be the case. I thought there was a lot more tries being and on the back of their errors and a couple of lucky opportunities from us. So, yeah, it wasn't to be.
For you guys, where did you feel it all went wrong?
Yeah, I think our inability to defend the player, there were, I think, something like 34 offloads throughout the game, and the energy and support off each offload from Warrington was just unbelievable, and the amount of people that could have scored any given try could have been two or three, so just gives us, shows their urgency and their willingness. But it was certainly a game that looked like a men versus boys, and just lost it through the inability to wrestle.
So you guys didn't want to throw the towel in, and at times you did throw the ball around quite a bit.
Yeah, we never throw the towel in, and given where we are and what's happened to us, we won't be throwing the towel in. It's just a really tough situation for us. There are so many players, 70% of the players that won't be at our club next year. So it's difficult, but yeah, it was just one of those games where they were white hot today, Warrington.
Under difficult circumstances, is it difficult to pick out any positives or any star performer for you today?
Yeah, there weren't too many people that stood out. I thought Joe Keyes, as a young kid, second game in Super League, scored the first try, tried hard, but didn't have too much support today from some of the bigger fellas, the more experienced guys. And but yeah, not too many standouts today when you get beat by 70.
I suppose games are running out for you guys, and it looks like you're now condemned to relegation, so it's all about the future now for the Broncos.
It is about the future. It's been about the future for the last 4 or 5 weeks. David Hughes, myself and Jason, the general manager, have been planning for relegation, and we've signed some people that are going to be very, very good for our club, and over the next 2 or 3 weeks we'll probably make some signings. We've signed 2 or 3 other Australians, so they'll be coming over and giving us a hand to get us back into winning ways.
Positive news coming out is the fact that the club are preparing for next year.
Yeah, we have been, Adrian. We have been we've had a plan A and a plan B. So for us, we'd be crazy not to have a contingency plan, given the situation and the season that we're having.
Obviously, you didn't want to get relegated, but it's not the be-all and end-all of everything. There's still a way to bounce back.
Yeah, 100% there is, and I don't think it's a bad thing being relegated. The Broncos at the moment are where we can strip back and start all over again.
And for yourself, how are you finding your first year here as a coach?
I don't know if challenging is the word. I've never been beaten by 70, so it's something that I've never been involved in. But I back myself, my wife backs our ability, my ability, and the family love London. So David's given me another 2 years here to fix things up. So I'll be doing that and won't leave no stone unturned.
You mentioned a couple of your future signs being overseas players. Are we likely to see a couple of Londons coming through as well?
There is. I mean, our 19s were tremendous today. We've already signed nine of our local kids in our top squad of 24 for next year. So we've got, you know, arguably 42% of our squad are going to be local-based talent.
Good to hear that, and hopefully this you draw a line under this season and come back all bigger and stronger next year.
Yeah, that's the plan, Adrian, to go into full-time competition and finish in the top four and give the opportunity to come back in a Super League program next year.
Two very glum coaches in Losers' Corner. Jimmy Lowe's after that big defeat at the hands of St. Helens, and Joe Grimmer, London Broncos coach, after the big defeat at the hands of Warrington, which condemned them to relegation. It's good to hear London have got a plan A and a plan B to bounce back. A couple of overseas players being signed, Ray Nassau being one of them guys.
Oh, one of my favourite players from the World Cup, did a sterling job for Italy. I'll be really pleased to actually see him come and play his trade over here, and I'm certain that you know, James Gordon for loverugbyleague.com, he's also spotted that he was one of my favourite players in the World Cup, because as soon as that was announced he tweeted me and said, you know, he's actually signed for next season, Dave, what do you make of that? And I just sent him a quick message back, brilliant.
And it's also brilliant then that they're signing a couple of local players as well within the squad for next season. And it's great to hear that, never mind the backing of the chairman, he's got the backing of his wife.
Oh, well, that's the main thing, isn't it? You know, you've got to be, you've got to stand strong for your family, yes, haven't you? And, yeah, you know, sometimes it can be a lonely place. And to be fair, for Joe Grimmer, it's been a lonely place for him, hasn't it, over the course of the season. They sit rock bottom of Super League, not looking like they're going to get a win. They've lost 20 on the bounce. They're forgetting what it was even looking like. But interesting to note as
like
well,
the days of Doncaster, just like
is
another Sunday.
Another bloody Sunday.
Oh. I didn't want to say that, but
yeah,
you've just said
but
it.
No, it was description, okay, you know, because of the blood that was on the,
yeah,
faces and everything,
all right, okay,
you know, so there you go. And yes,
what was their record? 73 matches, wasn't it?
I don't know quite what the record was, but didn't Runcorn Highfield go close to beating it?
They
or
did
actually beat,
yeah,
it
a few
years ago. And Blackpool as well, Blackpool, yeah, Panthers, they also had an enviable or unenviable losing record. But you mentioned there about Jimmy Lowe's, he could be the next coach to be relegated, couldn't he, if results go against him this week?
I can't see a way back for Bradford, to be honest. If they lose in round 21 of the Super League season and Wakefield win, well, Bradford will be doomed.
And
what a dramatic fall from grace is for the Bulls.
It is. I mean, you've only got to go back, what is it, 9 years? They won a championship 9 years ago and you know, got to grand finals. They were the glory boys, weren't they, during the early days of Super League? And yeah, it just shows how the mighty can fall and how sometimes you've got to take stock and you've got to rebuild again.
Okay, let's talk championship, shall we? And there's been plenty of glory teams in the higher leagues and rugby league throughout the years who found themselves in the championships, haven't they? And Rochdale have been one of them teams. And they get the pick of the action for me from round 18 with a stunning 38-34 win against Feversham Rovers.
Absolutely outstanding, that result. And in fact, that Rochdale were 18 all at half time and then came out to win that second half. I mean, that was outstanding. I mean, Featherstone, up until that point, had been talking about what they were going to do. They've had the major shareholder pull out there, all the money has seemed to have dried up, nobody really seems to know what's going to be going on or what the future holds. So, you know, well done to Rochdale. The pick for me of the round 18 games was actually Halifax's victory over Keighley. Now, local bragging rights, it was 6-4 at half time, so nothing in the game. Second half it finished Halifax 38, Keighley 6, so really they did run the cleaners, didn't they, through the Cougars. Other wins in round 18 of the championship for Whitehaven, Dewsbury, Lee, North Wales Crusaders and Workington Town.
Yeah, Whitehaven making a real charge for the playoffs and safety, aren't they?
Yeah. In fact, both those Cumbrian clubs are looking pretty nifty at the moment with some of the results that they're coming up with. But yeah, Barrow beating, Whitehaven beating Barrow virtually condemns Barrow to relegation, doesn't it?
Now, Sheffield Eagles were in that mix going into round 19, and that win against the North Wales Crusaders, well, that just about settles the nerves a little bit, doesn't it?
I don't know about settling the nerves, because I mean, they're still level with Keighley and Workington, and to be honest, this is how competitive the championship pace, because you've got Lee right on top, 10 points clear. You've got Featherstone 45 points, Halifax 43, Doncaster 43. Below them, you've got Dewsbury, Batley, Whitehaven, Sheffield, Keighley and Workington all on or around 35 points.
It's going to be a nervous couple of weeks, isn't it?
It's already getting nervous.
It's cut football every week for them clubs.
Tell you what, it is great to watch, though. And I mean, we see it every single week. And, you know, the pick of the results from round 19 for me was Batley drawing against Halifax. I mean, it was almost back to the days of when Batley won the Northern Rail Cup a few years ago against Widnes, because it was Alex Brown who came up with a last-minute try to equalise. And but for a bit of wayward kicking from Leatherbarrow, they could have won that.
Don't remember that game. What game is that again? Sorry,
you've sort of wiped it from the memory banks anyway, haven't
gone
you?
Already.
I've reminded you of it again.
Right, the pick of the action for me for round 19 was Doncaster's stunning victory over Lee. You went into that game unbeaten. Well, it all came to a stop at the hands of Donny, and it was superb as they ended that unbeaten league record.
I knew you'd get your own back.
I was just waiting my time.
No, it's you know, you've got to give full credit to Doncaster. They trailed by 16 points to 6 at half time. They spent about 10 minutes in the first half knocking on the door of that Lee try line and without reward, and then second half they found a way through early doors and didn't look back. And interesting to note as well amongst those Doncaster side for the weekend was Jacob Miller, who came over to great aplomb as a young halfback from Australia for Hull last season, and also Ben Crooks, current Super League superman, if you like, a centre of great renown and, you know, great try-scoring ability. He came up with 2 tries himself.
Yeah, that's all about utilising the dual reg, and that's what Paul Cook has done, and he's calling on his old ties at Hull FC to do the job for them.
Yeah, I know it's something that, you know, some of the Championship coaches, they're not too pleased about, because there's money, there's relegation riding on this, isn't there?
You know,
so in essence, you could end up with some Super League clubs maybe even influencing the Championship. It's just a strange sort of situation, but we love it.
We do love it, and it's going to get even more interesting as we enter the business end of the season, because with 5 clubs going down, it does make it intriguing.
Yeah, other wins on that weekend as well for Workington, for Rochdale, for Featherstone, and also Whitehaven. I know we spoke about them before, but 40 points to 34, you know, really, really close. But for me, I think the bottom 4 have already gone, unless they can win their next 2 matches.
Yeah, it's not looking good for North Wales. They were hoping to have avoided the drop, but even with a change of coaching, they're still losing, aren't they?
They are, unfortunately, yeah. It's a tough place if you're a rookie coach there, isn't it? And Anthony Murray in just his second job as a professional coach. Remember, he had 4 games at the start of the season with Barrow, so he's seen life at the sharp end of the Championship, shall we say. I mean, I know we mentioned before about, or you mentioned to Joey Grimmer about having a tough run. You know, it's tough as well at the bottom of the Championship, isn't it?
Yeah, big game for them as well coming up in the next round of the Championship in round 20. They're at home at The Rock for the final time this season. It's against Dewsbury. Now, that's as tough as it comes.
It is tough, but if they can take a leaf out of Whitehaven's book, maybe they can come up with a victory which would help springboard them, maybe, to a late season run.
Dropping back to round 16, the Championship won. The pick of the games for me, Hemel Stag beating Inform Gloucestershire Argos 22-14.
Yeah, brilliant result, to be honest. And interesting to note, a former St Helens man in Hill going over for a try in that one. So nice to see St Helens even supplying players for out on the far fringes of rugby league. But for me, the outstanding result of round 16 was Hunslet Hawks getting back to winning ways against Gateshead. I mean, Gateshead have been pretty good at home all season, and they beat them 45 points to 6. Outstanding. Other winners were for York away at London Scholars and Oxford at South Wales Scorpions. That was round 16, by the way.
Yeah, things not going to plan for South Wales Scorpions, because they got walloped in round 17. That's the pick of the action for me. It doesn't matter who you're playing, but to put 74 points past your opposition, that's some doing in Hunslet, proving far too strong for the men from South Wales.
And you spoke as well before about hat-trick men. There was a hat-trick man on that one as well, Jimmy Watson, who came through at Leeds for Hunslet.
You mentioned former Super League players, Liam Hood, scored two for Hunslet Hawks in that game.
He's a good little player, Liam Hood. I was very surprised that, you know, Leeds got rid of him, to be fair. You know, he's obviously a player who can step up and really play at a higher level. For me, the outstanding result of this round in the Kingstone Press Championship 1 was London Scholars' win against Hemel Stags. We mentioned in previous weeks that London Scholars have been a bit off form. In fact, they've actually lost 10 of their 14 games this season, but they came back, had a really good performance, and a couple of tries there for Cox, and four goals from Bishy as well, so nice to see him getting back in on the action.
All to play forward in all the leagues, and it's interesting times as we enter the home straight of the weekly rounds.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Yes, indeed. Let's give you some rugby league news before we leave here, there, Park. Yeah. Catalan Dragons assistant coach Jerome Guise signed a new 2-year contract with the club.
Oh, that's good. He served him well as a player, didn't he? He also served Warrington in his time, didn't he?
He did.
Going back a few years. But he knows a lot, very experienced man, and good to see him sticking to the course.
Now, John Kerr's the Batley coach, and he's going to be doubling up on his role because he's just been named as the new Wales coach.
Hang on, didn't he step down from Super League to get away from full-time rugby? He's virtually given himself
two...
He's
got two part-time
two
jobs.
Two part-time jobs, but it equates a full-time role, really, doesn't it? You know, but, you know, well done, I think, to John. He's never been one of those people who's been afraid to take on a challenge and, you know, going in there and replacing Yestin Harris and trying to get Wales rugby into a better and brighter place. It's actually quite an exciting prospect, isn't it? And I think that he'll make a success of it.
He certainly will, wouldn't he? It'd be good to see how John Kerr goes as an international coach. I know we've seen him do it for England way back in 1995, but it'd be good to see him do it in the current game.
And also in 2000 as well. He was the England coach for the 2000 World Cup, wasn't he? Because I know because him and Paul Rowley are still good mates and still talk about that tournament.
Now, it's been rumoured and mooted that Super League and Rugby League in the UK is going to copy the Aussies like we always do and have two match officials. Well, it's been trialled, hasn't it?
It has. It's been trialled at under-19 level this past weekend. Those poor under-19s players, they've had to cope with not one match official running things in the middle, but two. We've seen the entire Super League refereeing panel take charge of matches this past weekend, and what has been noted is that it's sped the ruck up no end. But is it a good thing? I don't know. You know, are they going to argue if they don't see things the same way?
I can see him arguing.
Who blows the whistle?
But the fans will have fun because they'll be able to skip two referees rather than one.
I know. Look at them pair of what's-its in the black, eh? You know, but I don't know. Yeah, it could be a good thing, couldn't it? And certainly it's something that's been well received over in Australia. What it does mean, it could create further opportunities for young referees coming through. There's a real breed of young championship referee at the moment who are starting to, you know, referee regularly. We've had one of them in our studio over the last 18 months, and that was Adam Gill, who notices, you know, getting there or thereabouts and starting to get a few Super League line runs. So, yeah, it certainly does open up opportunities, and that's what we want in Rugby League, I suppose, isn't it? Not only for our players, but also our officials.
Okay, David, we're out of here, and we'll see you again sometime soon.
You've been listening to the Final Hooter with Adrian Jackson and Dave Parkinson, only on Radio General, Hospital Radio for Warrington, and loverugbyleague.com.